Table of Contents 4, Tape 6, Side 1, Lesson 26, Using the JAWS Configuration Manager. Lesson 27, Using the JAWS Frame Manager. Lesson 28, Using the JAWS Keyboard Manager. Lesson 29, Troubleshooting. Tape 6, Side 2, Lesson 29, Troubleshooting. Continued, Lesson 30, Using Braille Displays with JAWS. This learning module is entitled Using the JAWS Configuration Manager. This lesson introduces you to several items found in the Set Options menu. You will also learn the difference between making changes to the default and application-specific configuration files.
Currently, the only two programs that I've got running are JAWS for Windows and HJPAD. My application focus is in the HJPAD application window. I can confirm this by reading my title bar. Insert plus T, as in title.
Title equals document-hjpad.
Now I'm going to press a keystroke that will activate my JAWS Manager's dialog. That keystroke is insert plus the function key F2.
JAWS, run JAWS Manager dialog, list box, configuration manager, 1 of 7.
We hear that the JAWS Manager dialog has been launched, and our focus is currently resting on an alphabetically arranged list view. The first item in this list is Configuration Manager, which is selected upon activating the JAWS Manager dialog. The only two other controls in this dialog, moving from left to right, are the OK button and the Cancel button, respectively. And as I said, Configuration Manager is currently selected, and now I'll activate the Configuration Manager by pressing the Enter key.
Enter. Document-HJPAD. Edit. JPAD-JAWS Configuration Manager.
So here I am in the JAWS Configuration Manager, and the configuration that was loaded is specific to the HJPAD application. If there isn't a configuration file already in existence for a particular program, JAWS will create one as soon as you launch the Configuration Manager from that list view. And the name given to that configuration is going to match the name of either the .exe, executable file, or .dll, dynamic link library file, that runs your program and will be given a .jcf extension, which stands for JAWS Configuration Manager. For example, the name of the file that runs HJPAD is called HJPAD.exe, so the name of the corresponding configuration file is HJPAD.jcf. As we move on to some of the other managers in this tutorial, you'll see that they work very much the same way. Everything that you're going to do in the JAWS Configuration Manager is going to be done from within the menu system. I'll go ahead and press Alt to activate the menu bar.
Menu bar, JPAD-JAWS Configuration Manager. File.
Here we are on the File menu option on our menu bar. I'll down arrow into the File pull-down menu.
Menu active. New Control plus N.
Here's the new option. And if we didn't activate the JAWS Configuration Manager from within the application for which we'd like to write a configuration, we would select this option as long as we know what the name of the .exe or .dll file for which we'd like to create the configuration is. I'll down arrow.
Open dot dot dot. Control plus O.
And of course we can open any configuration file that we'd like to using the standard Windows Open dialog. I'll down arrow again.
Save.
There's our save menu option again.
Save as. Control plus A.
Save as.
Open default file. Control plus shift plus D.
And here's an option called Open Default File, and it gives us a shortcut key of Control plus Shift plus D. Activating this menu option is going to bring up a configuration called default.jcf. You can kind of think of your default files whether they're your JAWS Configuration Manager files or Frame Manager, Keyboard Manager, etc., as kind of the generic set of manager files, whose job is to try to accommodate for the most probable Windows scenario. If you're running an application that you just bought and you haven't yet created a JAWS configuration file for it, JAWS is going to run the default .jcf file. It's important to understand that JAWS for Windows provides manager files for several popular Windows applications, and you can find out what these files are by simply going to the list view within the Open Dialog. I'm going to press Enter on the Open Default File option now.
Enter, leaving menus. Default-JAWS Configuration Manager.
There are some options in your default JAWS configuration file that are grayed out or unavailable in your application-specific configuration files. This is because these options are set specifically for the JAWS for Windows program. Let's go ahead and take a look at a couple of these options now. The Set Options menu item can be found on your menu bar, but I'm going to get into the Set Options pull-down menu by pressing the accelerator key combination Alt plus the letter S as in Set Options.
Alt S. Menu active. Set Options. User Options.
Now I'll press the letter S, as in Synthesizer, to activate the Synthesizer option dialog from within this pull-down menu.
S. Leaving menus. Synthesizer options dialog. Default synthesizer combo box. Eloquence for JFW.
We hear that we end up in a combo box containing a list of all the synthesizers installed on my computer, and these synthesizers were selected when I installed the JAWS for Windows program. And we heard that Eloquence for JFW was selected as soon as we got into this combo box. I'm going to down arrow to the next item in this combo box.
DeckTalk Express.
There's an option for DeckTalk Express. I'll down arrow again.
No speech.
And there's a no speech option, which is very useful for situations where you might be using a Braille display, and for whatever reason, you don't want to have speech running at the time. You probably do not want to select this option. Because we're in the default configuration file, this will set JAWS for Windows to default to no speech whenever you run the program. I'm going to press the letter E to move back to Eloquence in this list.
E, Eloquence for JFW.
I'm going to tab to the next control.
Tab. Eloquence for JFW punctuation combo box, all.
JAWS speaks JFW punctuation combo box and tells us that the currently selected item or default selection is all. If you're ever in a JAWS dialog and you're not quite clear on how a particular control works, remember you have JAWS screen sensitive help at your disposal, Insert plus F1. I'm going to press Insert plus the function key F1 on this control to hear how it is used.
This is a combo box that contains the punctuation settings for the synthesizer that you are currently using. Changing the setting changes all of the punctuation settings for the synthesizer. The default value is all. Type the desired value in the edit field or arrow down to an item in the list.
So we hear that this control has to do with the amount of punctuation that JAWS speaks by default. I'm going to tab to the next control.
Tab. Allow WAV files with software synthesizers checkbox not checked.
I'm going to press Insert plus F1 to hear what this control does.
This option is only available when the default file is loaded. Allow WAV files to be played while JFW is using a software synthesizer. You must restart JFW for changes to the setting to take effect. The default setting is not checked. Press the space bar to toggle this option.
The first thing that JAWS told me was that this control is only available when in the JAWS default configuration file. Checking this option will allow JAWS to let WAV files or sound files come through when using a software synthesizer, and it is unchecked by default. I'm going to go ahead and check this option by pressing the space bar.
Allow WAV files with software synthesizers checkbox checked.
This item is now checked, and one of the other things that JAWS for Windows told us when we were using screen sensitive help was the changes that I make to this control will not take effect until I run JAWS for Windows again. So, of course, this means that WAV files are not going to be played until my next JAWS session. This is the only thing that I'd like to change in this dialog, so I'm going to go ahead and press the Enter key to activate the OK button and accept this change.
Enter. Default-JAWS Configuration Manager.
And focus moves back to the JAWS for Windows Configuration Manager application window. So now you know how to activate the JAWS Configuration Manager from within an application, how to affect changes to your default JAWS configuration file, as well as how to get screen-sensitive help when navigating the various dialog boxes and controls within the Configuration Manager by pressing the JAWS keystroke, Insert, plus F1. If you would like to view the actual help file that was written for the JAWS for Windows Configuration Manager, simply press the function key F1, the standard Windows keystroke for obtaining help when in any of the JAWS managers. I'm going to press Alt plus F4 to exit the JAWS Configuration Manager now.
Alt F4. Configuration Manager dialog. Save current settings before closing question. Yes button.
JAWS asks if you want to save the current settings before closing. And I do want to save the changes that I made to my default.jcf file. So I'll press Enter on the Yes button.
Enter. Document-HJPAD. Edit.
This learning module is entitled Using the JAWS Frame Manager. This lesson demonstrates how to define a rectangular area on your computer screen and define how JAWS handles information displayed within that area.
The Frame Manager allows you to select a rectangular area on your computer screen and tell JAWS how to behave whenever information within that frame changes. You can choose to have JAWS speak the contents of a frame each time the information within that frame changes. You can set up a frame to ignore an area of the screen if you don't want to hear each time information within that frame changes. Or you can set up a keystroke to have JAWS echo the contents of a certain area on your computer screen whenever you press that keystroke. In this lesson, I'm going to show you how to set up a frame in the CD player program that comes with Windows. I'm going to tell JAWS to monitor the area of the screen that displays the total length of the currently selected track. We're going to set this frame up to echo the information within that frame each time it changes and assign a keystroke so that we have the option of quickly accessing that information whenever we'd like to. The CD player program can be found within the Entertainment submenu, which is under the Accessories submenu, which is under the Programs submenu on my computer, which is a Windows 98 machine. JAWS for Windows and the CD player program are the only two applications that I've currently got running. My application Focus is currently in the CD player main application window. I'll press Insert plus T to read the title bar.
Title equals CD player, eject.
JAWS reads title equals CD player and announces the first control, which is a button. And if you'd like to see some of the other controls on the screen in the CD player, simply press the Tab key to move between them. I'm going to press Tab until I hear Track Combo Box.
Tab. Artist colon combo box. New artist less E colon greater. Tab. Track colon combo box. Track 1 less 0 1 greater.
So the first track of the CD that I've got in my CD-ROM drive is currently selected. And after we create the frame down on the status line to monitor the length of the currently selected song, each time I arrow up or down in this combo box, the information on the status line is going to change to reflect the currently selected track. And when this occurs, JAWS is going to announce the change on the status line that's enclosed in the frame that we're about to create. Before I create a frame, I want to read what information is currently being displayed on the status line. I'm going to press Insert plus Page Down, the JAWS keystroke, to read the status line.
Total play colon 7303 M colon S track colon 05 colon 31 M colon S.
The first thing that we heard on our status line, reading from left to right, was the total play time of the disc, which is 73 minutes and 3 seconds. And that was followed by the play time of the currently selected track, which in my case is 5 minutes and 31 seconds. To create a frame, I first need to turn on the JAWS cursor. I'll go ahead and do that by pressing the minus key on the numpad.
JAWS cursor.
Since the information that I'd like to monitor is located down at the bottom of this screen, I'm going to press the page down key to bring me to the very last line on the screen.
Page down.
I'll press the home key to move my mouse pointer all the way over to the left edge of the screen.
Home.
And now I'm going to read from left to right a word at a time.
Play colon 7303 M colon S track colon 05 colon 31.
Okay, and there's the length of the currently selected track in minutes and seconds. I'm going to press the number 5 or center key on the numpad to see where my mouse pointer is currently located.
Zero.
Frame coordinates are set up by specifying the upper left-hand corner and the lower right-hand corner of the area on the screen that you would like to make into a frame. Now, frames are built based on pixel location. So when you define your upper left-hand or lower right-hand corner of your frame, you're going to want to make sure that it's large enough to enclose all the information that you would like to enclose in your frame. So in the case of my CD player, all the information that appears on the status bar is always going to be the same size and in the same location. You're going to want to make sure that you make your frame large enough to include the most amount of information that could possibly appear in that area of the screen. I'm going to left arrow one time to move my mouse pointer just to the left of the 0 of 05 colon 31, which again is my currently selected track time in minutes and seconds.
Space.
And now I'm going to press the key combination to define the upper left-hand corner of the frame, which is Control plus Shift plus left bracket. And left bracket is typically located immediately to the right of the letter P, as in Papa.
Setting frame top left corner.
Joss is setting frame top left corner. Now I'll move my mouse pointer to the right until I get to the end of the information that I'd like to include in my frame.
05:31 space.
If I had a larger block of text consisting of multiple lines, I could have also pressed the down arrow key until I got to the lower right-hand corner of the information that I wanted to enclose in my frame. But in this situation, this is all the information that I'd like to appear in my frame. So I'm going to press the key combination Control plus Shift plus right bracket to specify the bottom right-hand corner of my frame.
Setting frame bottom right corner. Frame manager dash player dialog, general page, frame name colon edit.
As soon as I pressed Control plus Shift plus right bracket, I was brought into the frame manager's dialog. And JAWS knows that the executable file used to launch the CD player program is called CD player, so it's going to automatically give our frame manager file the same name, but with an extension of JFM. My focus is currently in the name field of this dialog, so I'm simply going to type in the word selected track time, and I'm going to concatenate or capitalize the first letter of each of those words, but I'm not going to put any spaces in my name.
SELECTEDTRACKTIME.
I'll tap to the next control.
Tab. Synopsis edit.
A synopsis is a brief description of what the frame is for. I'm just going to type in, reads the length of the selected track from the status bar.
R-E-L-I-S-E-R-period.
I'll read the current line.
Synopsis edit. Reads the length of the selected track from the status bar, period.
And now I'll tab to the next control.
Tab. Description edit.
Here's a description edit field used for giving detailed information on what a particular frame is for. I'm going to tap to the next control.
Tab. Echo JFW screen echo radio button checked. 404.
Here we're placed into a group of radio buttons, and we hear that the fourth of four is checked, and this option is called Echo JFW Screen Echo. If I select this item, JAWS will read the information contained within my frame based on the current screen echo setting. You may toggle between the three screen echo settings by pressing Insert in combination with the letter S, as in screen echo. The three settings are highlighted, all, and no screen echo, and the default setting is highlighted. In other words, JAWS for Windows is going to report the information that it usually reports unless you press a hotkey that will tell JAWS to read the contents of your frame. You can specify this hotkey in this dialog. I'm going to press the up arrow to move to the third radio button in this group.
Echo all radio button checked. 3 of 4.
Here's the echo all radio button. This tells JAWS to read all of the contents of a frame whenever the information in that frame changes, regardless of the current screen echo setting. I'll up arrow to the second radio button in this group.
Echo highlighted radio button checked. 2 of 4.
As you could probably guess, this tells JAWS to read the highlighted items within our frame whenever the information within that frame changes. I'll up arrow again.
Echo silent radio button checked. 1 of 4.
And of course, this lets JAWS know that we'd like this area of the screen to be silent. I'd like to select the Echo All radio button because I'd like to have JAWS read the contents of my frame whenever information in that frame changes. So I'm going to press down arrow to Echo All.
Echo highlighted radio button. Echo All radio button checked. 3 of 4.
And I'll press Tab to move to the next control.
Tab. Save and frame file layer radio button checked. 1 of 2.
Here we're placed into another group of radio buttons containing frame file names, and the two options that appear in this radio button group is one called CD player, which of course we want to use, and the other one is the default file name. And this would monitor the same area of the screen regardless of what application you are working in, and of course, the frame that we're building is unique to CD player, so selecting the default option wouldn't apply here. I'm going to tab to the next control.
Tab. Assign to colon edit.
JAWS speaks assign to colon edit. Here's where we can specify a hotkey combination that will read the contents of our frame, regardless of whether or not that information has changed. And of course, it's very important that the key combination that we choose does not conflict with any other Windows keyboard commands or any other commands being used by the application that you happen to be working in. Since my frame is going to read the track length, or time, of the currently selected track, I'm going to select Control plus Shift plus the letter T, as in time, as my hotkey command. I'm simply going to hold all three of those keys down at the same time.
Control plus Shift plus T.
And if I do a read line,
assign to colon edit, Control plus Shift plus T.
I hear that that has been assigned, so I'm going to tap to the next control.
Tab. OK button.
Here's our OK button. I'll press Enter here.
Enter. CD player. Track colon combo box. Track 1 less 01 greater.
Now notice, as I arrow down through the tracks in my track combo box, I'll automatically hear the time of that particular track. I'll go ahead and down arrow.
04:25. Track 2 less 02 greater.
So I hear that track 2 is 4 minutes and 25 seconds long. If I didn't quite catch that, I could press my hotkey combination, Control plus Shift plus the letter T, to get that information again.
This learning module is entitled Using the JAWS Keyboard Manager. This lesson demonstrates how to add, remove, and change JAWS keystrokes using the JAWS Keyboard Manager, as well as how to quickly locate keystrokes for a specific application.
The JAWS Keyboard Manager allows you to add, remove, and modify JAWS keystrokes. JAWS keystrokes are keystrokes that are attached to a script. A script is a piece of programming code that dictates the way JAWS behaves in certain situations. For example, pressing the down arrow key when in a word processor moves the insertion point to the next line of text and JAWS proceeds to read it. Well, if JAWS were not running, the insertion point would still move to the next line of text because this is a standard Windows keystroke. It's the script that's attached to that standard keystroke that lets JAWS know that it should speak whenever the insertion point moves to the next line of text. It's the fact that these keystrokes are attached to little scripts or small programs that allows us to change our keyboard layout to meet our needs. Currently, my focus is on the Windows desktop, and the only application that I've got running at this time is JAWS for Windows. I'm going to bring up the list of managers with Insert plus the function key F2.
Run JAWS Manager dialog, list box, configuration manager, 1 of 7.
I'm going to down arrow until I hear keyboard manager.
Dictionary manager, frame manager, graphics labeler, keyboard manager.
And I'll press enter to activate this application.
Enter. JAWS keyboard manager dash C colon backslash JFW33 /settings/NU/stock.jkm list view stock 37 of 51.
We're in the keyboard manager, and the keymap file that is currently open is called docvw.jkm. JKM stands for JAWS Keyboard Manager, and the docvw is the same as the DLL file used to launch the Internet Explorer program. And this very same file is actually integrated throughout Windows 98. But we're going to be looking at the keymap file for the calculator program, which you will find in Windows 95 and Windows NT, as well as Windows 98. So I'll be using the calculator keymap file for the sake of illustration. As soon as we activated the keyboard manager, our focus landed in a list view containing a list of other applications that keymap files have been generated for. I'm going to simply press the letter C until I hear JAWS speak calc.
C, CACD. C, calc.
That's the keymap file that I'm looking for. Before I go any further, I should let you know that for each keymap file that I select within this list view, there's a corresponding list view containing all the keystrokes associated with that keymap file. And these two list views are the primary controls within this dialog. I'm going to tab over into the list displaying all the keystrokes that are available in the calculator program.
Tab, list view, add value to memory, control plus P, calc, common, 1 of 32.
We hear that the first item in this list box is called add value to memory, and it gives us the keystroke that we can activate when we're in the calculator program, which is control plus P. But JAWS also spoke the word common, and common means that this keystroke is available for both desktop and laptop keyboard layouts. This is defined when the keystroke is initially assigned within a script or a frame. When we first tabbed over to this list, we heard that there are 36 keystrokes assigned to the calculator program. Feel free to stop the lesson and navigate this list view to hear what other keystrokes are assigned to the calculator program. When you're finished, simply press the home key to return your selection to the first item in this list view. Let's say that I was working in the calculator program, and I wanted to get the square root of a number, but I couldn't remember what the keystroke was. With my application focus in the calculator program, I could press the Insert plus F2 key combination to bring up the list of managers, activate the keyboard manager, and of course I'd be brought into this very dialog, that is, the keymap file specific to the calculator program. From that point, I'd simply tab, and I would be brought where I am now, which is in the list view of all the keystrokes for the calculator program, and I could simply type in the first letters of the keystroke that I'd like to find out about. And in this case, that's square root, so I'll just type SQ.
SQ, square display.
And I'm pretty close, so I'm going to down arrow.
Square root, shift plus 2.
I hear that I can find out the square root of a number by pressing shift in combination with the number 2 on the numbers row. I'm going to down arrow once again.
Square root, Q.
And we hear that I can also find out what the square root is by simply pressing the letter Q. So there are two keystrokes assigned to this script. Now let's use another scenario. Let's say that I know what the keystroke is, and I know what it does, but I don't find it to be very convenient, so I'd like to locate that keystroke very quickly within this list view so that I can assign another keystroke that does the same thing. I'm going to press the home key to jump back up to the top of this list again.
Home, add value to memory.
Now I'm going to activate the find dialog, which you will locate in the actions menu. However, I'm going to press the shortcut key combination of Control plus F, as in find, to activate the find dialog.
Control F, find keystroke dialog, search for key colon hotkey.
Let's go ahead and look for one of those square root keystrokes. As I recall, shift plus the number 2 on the numbers row was one of the keystrokes that we could use to get the square root of a number. So I'm going to go ahead and press that key combination now.
Shift plus 2.
Shift plus 2 now appears in this field, and I can verify this by doing a read current line.
Search for key colon edit, shift plus 2.
And now I'm going to press the enter key to activate the OK button in this dialog.
Enter. List view, square root, shift plus 2, calc common, 32 of 36.
And we're brought right to the keystroke that we specified in our find dialog. So this is a nice fast way of locating keystrokes if we have a long list of keystrokes, as we do in this case. The keyboard manager offers the ability to add, change, or remove keystrokes. And you'll find all these options within the actions pull-down menu. In this case, I think I'd just like to add a keystroke. So I'm going to press the shortcut key combination to do this, which is Control plus the letter A.
Control A, add keystroke dialog, assigned to hotkey.
Let's say that the third way that I'd like to get the square root of a number is simply by pressing the number 2 key on the numbers row. And remember, this key assignment is going to be specific to the calculator program. I'm going to go ahead and enter in the number 2 in this edit field.
2.
And I'll press the enter key.
Enter. Confirm add keystroke dialog. Are you sure you want to modify calc period? Yes button.
We're being prompted and asked if we are sure we want to modify the calc key map file, and the yes button is selected, so I'm going to go ahead and press enter on that.
Enter. List view, square root, shift plus 2, calc common, 32 of 37.
And we hear that we now have 37 items in this list, the currently selected one being the same one that was selected before we activated the add keystroke dialog. I'm going to down arrow.
Square root, Q.
I'll down arrow again.
Square root, 2.
And there's the keystroke that we just added. Now I can also change any of the keystrokes that appear in this list view, as opposed to adding new keystrokes. And I would do this by simply selecting the item that I'd like to change within this list, and pressing the key combination of Control plus H. And of course, this option is also available within the Actions menu of this application as well. I'm going to go ahead and press Control plus H now.
Control H, change keystroke dialog, script name colon square root, assigned to hotkey.
And we hear script name square root, assigned to hotkey. And let's say that I want to assign it to the number 4 now. I'm going to go ahead and press the number 4.
4.
And press Enter.
Enter. Confirm change keystroke dialog. Are you sure you want to modify calc period? Yes button.
We see the same dialog that we saw when we went to add a keystroke, asking us if we're sure that we want to modify the calc key map file, and I'm going to say yes.
Enter. List view, square root Q calc common, 34 of 37.
And if I do a read line, I'll go ahead and do this now.
Square root Q calc common.
We hear that that's not the keystroke that I just changed. I'm going to up arrow twice.
Square root, shift plus 2.
Again.
Square root, 4.
And there's the keystroke that we just changed from 2 to 4. Let's say that I've abandoned this whole idea of setting up an additional keystroke to get the square root of a number, and I just want to get rid of this keystroke. I'm going to go ahead and press the delete key.
Confirm remove keystroke dialog. Are you sure you want to modify calc period? Yes button.
Same dialog, same options. Are we sure we want to modify calc? In other words, are we sure that we want to delete this keystroke that we generated? And I'm going to say yes.
Enter. List view square root shift plus 2 calc common 32 of 36.
And that keystroke that we added and then later changed has now been deleted from this list.
This learning module is entitled Troubleshooting. This lesson discusses the JAWS Authorization Manager, several video display issues that may affect the way JAWS for Windows behaves on your computer, and where you might find the resources necessary for correcting a specific problem.
My name is Jim Ellsworth. I'm the Senior Technical Support Engineer with the Hunter Joyce Technical Support Team. I'm glad to be here to have a chance to talk with you about some of the things that we often get questions about. One of those is the authorization known as Quella, which uses a method of transferring a key back and forth from your hard drive to your floppy and from your authorization floppy back to your hard drive again. When JAWS for Windows has completed installing, the authorization manager will run, and you'll be asked most likely to place your authorization disk, which came with JAWS for Windows, in the floppy drive on your computer, and then you need to press Enter. In a few seconds, JAWS should read the disk, transfer a key down to the hard drive, and you may be asked for something called an update disk. This disk is supplied with JFW at the time that it is shipped, allowing you to upgrade from a previous version of JFW that you may have owned. You may also be asked to replace the authorization disk in the drive after the update disk has been read. Go ahead and do so, and when the authorization manager is complete, you'll be told that authorization is either okay or not all right, and you need to run JAWS to find out if authorization is correct. If authorization is not correct, JAWS will run in a demo mode for exactly 40 minutes, allowing you to do whatever you need to do, such as complete a project, whatever needs to be done at that time. But JAWS will let you know shortly before that time is expired so that you're alerted to save any work and exit. You can then shut down the computer, reboot, and JAWS will again work for an additional 40 minutes. You can continue to do this until the problem with authorization has been resolved. If you can't resolve the authorization problems on your own and get JAWS working fully and completely, then you may need to contact Hunter Joyce Technical Support for assistance. Should you need to move authorization keys up and down from the floppy to the hard drive and vice versa, we want to be able to do that at any time. Should we need to move a key to another computer or something needs to be done to the machine that requires that the key be removed? The key is sensitive and should not be tampered with using some other utilities, or if you're going to perform something like installing something like Windows 98 or something of that nature, you really ought to move the key off and then, once the task is completed, put the key back on. The program that we use is called HJAuth. It resides on your authorization disk, which needs to be placed in the floppy drive. You need to go to the Start menu, and you can do that with either the Control-Escape key combination, or if you have a Windows 95 keyboard, you can hit the Windows Start button, which is located one key to the right of the Control key on the lower left corner of the keyboard. I'm going to go ahead and hit the Windows logo key now.
Start menu, Windows Update.
From the program submenu here, we can press the letter R to go to run.
R, leaving menus, run dialog, type the name of a program, comma, folder, comma, document, comma, or internet resource, comma, and Windows will open it for you, period. Open colon edit combo a colon backslash JAWS colon C colon.
JAWS has helped us out here by reading this dialog box and tells us that we're in an edit field, but we can type the command to run a program, and there's already a command here. We can just begin typing, and what is already there will disappear and be replaced by what we enter. Let's go ahead and type in A colon H J A U T H, then press Enter to run a program off the floppy disk.
A, colon, H, J, A, U, T, H. Enter. Desktop. List view. Not selected my computer. 1 of 10. Enter dash Joyce Authorization Management Interface version 1.03.8 dialog. Authorization disk location edit. A colon.
JAWS gave us a little extra information that the desktop comes up there for a second, and we get a little bit of desktop information, but then we get information about the authorization manager telling us the version number, etc. And then it's giving us the authorization disk location, which of course is A drive. Next, we need to hit the tab key.
Tab. Information edit.
This is the place where, once you've completed the task concerning the authorization here, the information you need will be in this area. So we're going to tab right on past this and come to another section here.
Tab. Available commands install authorization radio button checked. 1 of 5.
Okay, this is a group of radio buttons, 5 commands here that we can pick from. The very first one is install authorization, meaning that we can select this, tab over, and get some additional information and follow through the rest of the commands. But before we do that, we need to explore the rest of the radio buttons here. So let's down arrow and see what the other choices are.
Available commands uninstall authorization radio button checked. 2 of 5.
That one tells us that we can uninstall authorization, meaning we can move the authorization key from the hard drive back to the floppy disk. Let's see what the next one is.
Available commands get install count radio button checked. 3 of 5.
This is radio button number 3 of 5. Get install count. Now, this can be directed to the authorization disk to tell you how many keys you have remaining on your authorization disk, either before a key has been moved down or afterward, should you be questioning how many keys are left on your disk. Let's see what the next one is.
Available commands get authorization information radio button checked. 4 of 5.
This particular button can be useful in telling you how many keys you have left, how many keys have been installed, or if a key has been installed for that matter, on the hard drive, and if you're authorized for use with a software synthesizer or for Windows NT, etc. Let's see what the next one is.
Available commands authorization string radio button checked. 5 of 5.
This one's pretty important. If for some reason you should lose most of or all of your authorization keys through disk failure or whatever, in many cases we can restore those authorization keys if you contact us either by email or by telephone support. We can reset those keys. We need to give you an authorization string, which in the next section that we're going to go into, you can enter that string, and we'll try and cover that in a little more detail, and we can reset those lost authorization keys.
You have reached the end of side one. Please fast forward to the end to queue up side two and turn the tape over. Table of contents for tape 6, side 2, lesson 29, troubleshooting. Continued, lesson 30, using Braille displays with JAWS.
We're back to the radio button here now, as again where I said the authorization string can be entered, but we don't need that right now. We're going to go back to the first radio button in this group, install authorization. Fortunately, we don't have to up arrow 4 times to get there. This group of radio buttons wraps around, so we can just press the down arrow 1 time to get where we need to go.
Available commands install authorization radio button checked. 1 of 5.
Now we need to press the tab key 1 time.
Tab. Parameters edit. C colon.
That tells us where the authorization key is about to be installed. We usually do want it on C drive, so we're just going to go right on past this by pressing the tab key.
Tab. Execute button.
Here, we need to press enter, and as I said, JAWS will transfer the key down to the hard drive, and you'll be prepared then to be able to run JAWS. During this process, you'll hear your disk drive making the usual noises that floppy drives make when they are accessing files on the disk. It takes a few seconds to move the key down there, and when it's complete, depending upon how you have your Windows sounds set, you may hear a ding or some sort of a noise through your sound card speakers. You'll be placed here back on the execute button, so let's have JAWS read the current line.
Execute button.
Let's hit the tab key and hear what the next control is here.
Tab. Exit button.
If we didn't need any additional information, we could hit enter here to get out of this, but we're going to go right on past it by hitting tab again.
Tab. Authorization disk location edit. :.
We're back to where we started. We're on the authorization disk location. Let's press tab again.
Tab. Information edit.
Here's that information edit field we spoke about earlier. We're going to do a control home here.
Top of file. Blank.
This takes us to the top of this little edit field here. I want to point out, too, that I'm using the PC cursor. It's not necessary to use the JAWS cursor here. And we're going to perform another JAWS command using the insert down arrow on the numeric keypad to read all this dialogue. You're going to get some extraneous information here that you don't need about the copyright and so forth, but it'll tell you a little later on about how many keys were on the floppy disk and that a key has been transferred down to the hard drive.
HJAuth version 1.03.8. Copyright 1997 by Enter-Joyce, Inc. Period. All rights reserved. Period. JFW authorization disk. Initial install count on floppy :3. Authorization token installed on hard drive. **. Install count remaining on floppy :2. 1 authorization token on hard drive.
Well, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. The top portion of the information above the stars there tells you how many keys were on the disk before the process was actually performed, and then you found out that a key was actually moved down to the hard drive and that there is a token or a key on the hard drive now, and there's an install count remaining on the disk of 2 on this particular disk. Your count may be different. Now we're going to talk about uninstalling the authorization key should you need to do that for some reason. Let's assume maybe you need to send your machine to the shop to get some work done on it, and you don't know whether the technician there might be needing to format your hard drive, hopefully not, or whatever maintenance might need to be done. He wouldn't know about the authorization key or, in that fact, have the authorization disk to be able to remove the key, so you might want to do that before sending your machine out for repair, if at all possible. However, if you can't do that for some reason, you can leave the key there, and later we can reset the key on your authorization disk if necessary. Other reasons might be you might want to perform some sort of disk maintenance on your machine yourself, and there are certain tools out there that may interfere with that authorization key and cause JAWS not to work properly and go into demo mode because the key has become corrupt. Maybe it's best to say here that there may be some programs that tamper with the key and the operation of its purpose to make JAWS work. So if in doubt, perhaps it's best to just move the key off, complete what you need to do, and then put the key back on the hard drive. Now we're going to go ahead with the process of showing you how to uninstall an authorization key. We're going to go ahead and tab across to the group of radio buttons again.
Tab. Available commands install authorization radio button checked. 1 of 5.
Now just press the down arrow and you'll find the uninstall radio button.
Available commands uninstall authorization radio button checked. 2 of 5.
From here you can press the tab key and pretty much go through the same process. And when you hit enter on the execute button, give it a few seconds and you should hear the window sound if you have your sound set up, the little ding. And then you should be able to do a control home once you've tabbed over to the information edit field and do a control home, and then use the insert down arrow command to read that dialog to find out that the key has been uninstalled and gives you the total install count on the authorization disk. This is as far as we're going to go with this at this time. This covers installing and uninstalling authorization keys using HJAuth from the run dialog found in the start menu in your Windows program. We're going to go ahead and tab over to the exit button and press enter to exit this dialog.
Tab. Parameters edit. Tab. Execute button. Tab. Exit button. Enter.
We've now exited the JAWS authorization dialog that we were working in. Next, I want to go through a couple of special things concerning the JAWS configuration manager. allowing you to improve the way JAWS operates, and especially if you're using Eloquence or some other software synthesizer. Let's go to the Windows desktop, whether we're in 95, 98, or NT. Here we can use the Windows keyboard command, Windows logo key, plus the letter M to minimize all running applications.
M. Desktop. List view. Not selected my computer. 1 of 10.
This puts a focus on the desktop in the operating system that you may be using, as I mentioned, 95, 98, or Windows NT. Important point here, if you don't have a Windows 95 keyboard, you may need to use an alternate keystroke that is included with JAWS Insert plus F6. Now we can open the JAWS Manager to get to the Configuration Manager, as well as the other managers, by pressing Insert plus F2 to pull open a list box.
Run JAWS Manager dialog. List box. Configuration Manager. 1 of 7.
Now we're placed in a list box of all of the JAWS managers. There are 7 of them. For information on all of the different managers, please see the section concerning the different managers. Right now we're on the Configuration Manager choice. We're going to press Enter here to open the shdocvw.jcf configuration file.
Enter. shdocvw.jcf-JAWS Configuration Manager.
JAWS said shdocv, that's the way it pronounces, shdocvw. Now we can go ahead and open the Set Options menu with Alt-S.
Alt-S. Menu active. Set Options. User Options. ...
We could arrow down through these different options here. What I'm going to do is go ahead and open the Graphics and Symbols dialog box by pressing the letter G.
G. Leaving menus. Graphics and Symbols dialog. Graphic verbosity labeled graphics radio button checked. 2 of 3.
This isn't the choice we need. It's further on in the choices here. To shorten this, I'm going to go ahead and do a shift tab until we come to a checkbox that says graphics mode.
Shift tab. Cancel button. Shift tab. OK button. Shift tab. Graphics mode checkbox not checked.
That took 3 shift tabs, and you should be on graphics mode and should be unchecked. If it's checked, hit the space bar, uncheck it, then tab 1 time to the OK button. We'll go ahead and do that.
Tab. OK button.
And press Enter.
Enter. shdocvw.jcf-JAWS Configuration Manager.
Now we can press Control plus the letter S, which is the default Windows keyboard command, for saving.
Control S.
Okay, we don't get any feedback there, but you can definitely rest assured that the file had been saved. If it were not, when you did an Alt-F4, or if you tried to do something else in here to change to a different JCF file, for example, which we're going to do in just a second, it would ask you to save this file before opening another JCF file. Let's go ahead and open the next JCF file, because we've done all that we need to do here in the shdocvw.jcf. We need to open a file called default.jcf, and we can do that by holding down the Shift and Control keys simultaneously and pressing the letter D.
Control Shift D.
If we do an Insert T here, we should hear that the default.jcf is in fact open.
Title equals default.jcf-JAWS Configuration Manager.
Let's do the Alt plus the letter S again to open Set Options.
Alt S. Menu active. Set Options. User Options.
Before I continue, I want to explain that the default.jcf affects everything globally across all applications, no matter where you are in Windows. So any changes that are made here will be in effect no matter what program you're in, and that's an important fact to remember. We're going to make a synthesizer change here because we're using a software synthesizer. We can press the up arrow to come to the synthesizer dialog box.
Synthesizer options ...
And I wanted to point out, too, that since there's a ... here, that means, of course, it is a dialog box, and there's further information to follow. Let's press Enter and see what we find.
Enter. Leaving menus. Synthesizer options dialog. Default synthesizer combo box. Eloquence for JFW.
I want to point out here that it gives you the option to change the default synthesizer. If you've installed for more than one synthesizer, you can change that here. We won't go into detail, because it's covered in the section on the JAWS Configuration Manager. We're going to go ahead and hit tab again.
Tab. Eloquence for JFW punctuation combo box. All.
Tab again.
Tab. Allow WAV files with software synthesizers. Checkbox not checked.
I see this one's not checked, and optimally you should check this if you're using a software synthesizer of any kind. This allows for the use of WAV files while using a software synthesizer, and it tends to work a little bit better. Let's press the spacebar.
Allow WAV files with software synthesizers. Checkbox checked.
Tab till we get to the OK button.
Tab. Reset frequency edit. 2000. Tab. OK button.
And press Enter.
Enter. Default.jcf-jaws configuration manager.
OK, let's save our settings by pressing Control S.
Control S.
And let's exit the manager with Alt plus F4, and we're done.
Alt F4.
The next section on the tape covers setting up of the display options in Control Panel. It works like this. Let's press the Start button to go to the Start menu.
Start menu. Windows Update.
Let's press the letter S to open Settings.
S. Control Panel. Settings.
We've now focused on the Control Panel option. We'll press Enter.
Enter. Leaving menus. Control Panel. List view. Not selected. 1 of 21.
Now we need to press the letter D until we hear the word Display.
D. Date slash time. D. Display.
We had to press it twice to get there, but you may need to press it more than that, maybe as many as 3 or 4 times, depending upon the operating system that you're in or for other things that may have been installed on your computer. We need to press Enter here to get into Display Properties.
Enter. Display Properties dialog. Background page. Wallpaper list 1 list view. Graphic 541 left paren on right paren. 1 of 22.
We're in a list box. It tells us that there are 22 choices in this list box, and we're on number 1 of 22, which is none, and that's where we'd like to have it set. We don't want any wallpaper. Now let's press the tab key twice, since this appears to be set properly.
Tab. Wallpaper browse dot 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 button. Tab. Wallpaper pattern dot 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 button.
We need to check something in here, so let's press Enter.
Enter. Display properties dialog. Pattern page. Pattern dialog. You can choose a pattern for your active desktop period. The pattern is used to fill any leftover space around your wallpaper period. Pattern colon list box not selected left paren on right paren.
This is a list box as JAWS told us, and it said not selected. Even though we're on the correct choice, none, which is what we prefer here, let's select it by pressing the space bar.
Space. Left paren on right paren.
This is the only option we need to set in this particular section, so we're going to go ahead and just press Enter. It's not even necessary to tab to the OK button.
Enter. Display Properties dialog. Background page. Wallpaper pattern dot 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 button.
We're in a multi-level dialog box here with several different tabs, so you know where they are. Those tabs are located across the top of the screen. Let's now press Control plus Tab to go to the Screensaver tab.
Screensaver combo box. Left paren on right paren. Screensaver.
We're in a combo box. We already have the correct setting of none, which we prefer, but normally you would need to press the home key, the number 7 on the numeric keypad, if you have any other setting here, to place it on none. We're going to go ahead and skip that because we already have the correct setting, and we're going to press the Control plus Tab keystroke again.
Appearance. Scheme colon combo box. Windows standard. Active window. Selected. Message box.
Again, we're in a combo box. We got a lot of extra information here. The important thing was that we're on the Appearance tab and that we've got Windows Standard selected here. Anything other than Windows Standard, here's how to get to it. If you press the letter W, it will take you to Wheat, down arrow once, and you should come to Windows Standard. Let's press Control plus Tab again.
Effects. Desktop icons generic 1 list view. Graphic 152 my computer. 1 of 5.
This particular tab you may or may not have. The effects tab depends upon the operating system that you're in. Let's do another Control plus Tab.
Web. View my active desktop as a web page. Checkbox not checked.
This is another tab that you may or may not have, depending upon your operating system. It's not necessary here. Let's skip past it with Control plus Tab.
Settings. Colors left pairing unknown, monitor right pairing on Zurus Logic 5434 PCI combo box. 256 colors.
Well, we're on the Settings tab, which is important. We have some extra information there, which we really don't need. The important thing here is the color palette, which is set to 256 colors. That's a good setting. We don't need to change that. If it's on any other setting and you need to change it, or you wish to change it, you could up arrow or down arrow and choose the one you want, preferably 256 colors. Let's press the Tab key.
Tab. Screen area left-right slider, 50%.
Okay, this gives us a percentage here of 50%, and this could be varied by using the left and right arrows. It changes the resolution on your screen, on your monitor, from 640 by 480 pixels on up to much higher resolutions of even 1024 by 768 or even higher. We like to use 640 by 480, and in some cases, 800 by 600. Not going to go into adjusting the percentages here because there's too many different variations for different video cards. If you're not sure what your settings are, you can route the JAWS cursor to the PC cursor with an insert plus the minus key on the numeric keypad.
Route JAWS to PC.
You can now press the down arrow, which is the number 2 on the numeric keypad.
800 by 600 pixels.
And we see that we're set to 800 by 600 pixels. We really don't need to change this. Things seem to be working quite well. If we did need to change this setting, we could turn the PC cursor back on and use our left and right arrows to change the percentage or the settings, and then we could press Enter to save the changes that we've made. Let's turn the PC cursor back on.
PC cursor.
We haven't made any changes, but let's check it to make sure by doing an insert plus the number 8 on the numeric keypad.
Screen area left-right slider, 50%.
And we're still at 50%. And we're going to go ahead and press Enter.
Enter. Control panel, list view, display, 5 of 21.
If we had made any changes in there, that would have kept the changes and saved them. And we're now back in Control panel on the display properties icon. You can exit Control panel with Alt plus F4, but remember that if you made any changes, certain settings changes might require you to reboot your computer, and Windows will prompt you for that if need be.
Alt F4.
The different things that you might see in display properties and control panel could vary depending upon the operating system that you're using. I am using Windows 98, which is somewhat different than Windows 95 or the Windows NT operating system, so keep that in mind.
This learning module is entitled Using Braille Displays with JAWS. This lesson discusses the many Braille-specific features built into JAWS for Windows, such as Braille marking, display mode, and the Grade 2 Braille translator, as well as how to find information related to a supported Braille display.
Hello, my name is Dave Baker, Associate Software Engineer with Hunter Joyce, here to discuss the use of Braille displays with JAWS for Windows. What we're going to cover here is actually not the Braille display specifically, because we do support a wide variety of Braille displays, and all of the key mappings for each Braille display are different based on the display itself. So what we're going to talk about here is just the JAWS for Windows features, and we will point out for you where you can find the help you need to find out what keystrokes are present for your display. What we're going to do to get started is turn on the keyboard help like you learned in the section entitled Asking for Help to get familiar with the JAWS keyboard layout, and we can use this same feature to learn the JAWS Braille display layout as well. What we'll do right now is press Insert on the number pad plus the alphanumeric row number 1.
Q. keyboard help on.
And you hear it say keyboard help on. One key that is common to all Braille displays is the cursor routing buttons, and these are located above each of the Braille cells. If you have status cells, which are located to the left and separated by a border, I suggest you don't hit the cursor routing button above one of those, as those perform different functions. So what we're going to do is actually press the right-hand-most cursor routing button once.
Braille routing. Braille routing. Move the active cursor to the position of the Braille routing button.
If we press it twice, we'll get the same response that you do when exploring the JAWS keyboard layout when pressing a key twice. So let's go ahead and press it twice in rapid succession now.
Like root PC to JAWS, but it uses the Braille display routing button to determine the destination period.
These cursor routing keys are common to all Braille displays. And that's an important part of navigation, because as you're proofreading your documents, you find a misspelled word or too many spaces, and you simply press that cursor routing button, and it will move the cursor to that location. Cursor is also a pretty important part of navigation. Usually that is displayed by dots 7 and 8 blinking up and down. This is also available to be changed in the Configuration Manager of JAWS for Windows under Set Options, Braille Options. It's important to understand that to move the cursor to the current character, you need to press the Braille routing button. What we're going to discuss now is going to differ on the Braille display that you're using, but the concept is still the same, and that is the concept of pan left. Even if you have an 80-cell Braille display, there are lines that are more than 80 characters long, including all of the spaces. You generally do have on a Braille display quite often either a bar or a button pan left keystroke, which I'm going to press on my display right now.
Braille left 6. Braille pan left. Display text to the left on the current line.
Usually on the opposite end of your display, wherever your pan left keystroke was, you will find, and this is in many cases, I'm not going to say in every case because every display is different, you will find the keystroke for panning to the right. And I'm going to go ahead and press my pan right keystroke right now.
Braille F8. Braille pan right. Display text to the right on the current line.
So I guess the question is here, how would you know whether there was text that you could look at on the same line that you weren't seeing on your display? Because as we covered, even if you have an 80-cell display, there's quite frequently more text available to view on the line based on the spacing and everything else. That's what dots 7 and 8 are for in your status cells. If you have status cells on your display, you're going to see dots 7 and 8 up all the time, except in the cases that you have more text to view. The easiest way that I remember this is that the dots 7 and 8 will not be up on the status cell that's in the direction that you need to move. For example, if there's more text to the left of the display, your leftmost status cell, dot 7-8, will be down. The same is true if there's more text to the right. Now, if you have something like a 40-cell display and you're in the middle of the screen and there's text on both sides, then both the leftmost and rightmost status cells, dot 7-8, will be down. Since we're talking about status cells right now, let's cover the rest of the information that's displayed in these status cells. Cells 1 through 3, and this only increments depending on the amount of status cells you have. So if you only have 3, then you're only going to see this information. If you have more than that, then you'll see what follows. Status cells 1 through 3 contain your horizontal pixel position, which may or may not matter to you depending on what you're attempting to do. But like 069 or 173, just the horizontal pixel location on your screen that your display is currently located at. Cell 4 is going to display the cursor that you're using, which is J for JAWS, P for PC, I for invisible. From here, we've gone left and we've gone right on the current line. There are several options for moving to next and prior line with the Braille display. First of all, you may want to go up and down on the current screen using your Braille display without using speech. Remember that we're still in keyboard help mode. What I'm going to do is press the Braille next line keystroke.
Braille F9, Braille next line. Move down and display the next line of text.
JAWS is saying that we're moving down and displaying the next line of text. It did not say speak it, it just said display it. What I'm going to do now is press the Braille prior line keystroke.
Braille F7, Braille prior line, move up and display the previous line of text.
JAWS is telling us that it moves to the prior line and reads it. This is with the active cursor and the Braille display. The Braille display is following the active cursor. This moves us into the discussion of how JAWS for Windows displays information on your display, the three different modes that we have. Structured mode is the default mode on your Braille display as soon as you load JAWS for Windows. This displays all the information that's at the line of the active cursor or where your Braille display is, with the exception of dialog boxes or other situations where JAWS interprets important information that you need to see on the screen. As an example, if you saw the Save As dialog, it would say on your display, Save As DLG, File Name, Edit. It'd actually show the word edit, and you'd see your blinking cursor, or however you have your cursor displayed, in a blank cell. If you pan left, you would see more information on that dialog, like warning you have not saved your changes, other sorts of things. It doesn't just display all the information at the line of the active cursor and say, OK button, or OK cancel help. It actually tries to intelligently give you the information that you need to decipher what's going on your screen. Line mode is a lot like structured mode in that it displays all of the information at the active cursor. The only difference is, in a dialog box, what you would probably see are several of the fields and controls on the same line of the Braille display. It does prove to be handy in formatting situations or where you want to look at how the information is actually laid out on your screen as opposed to the pertinent information that you may need, like if you're very familiar with an environment but you're looking at where certain controls are located on your screen. Line mode could help you a lot with that. Speech box mode only displays the information that was sent to the synthesizer, whereas structured mode may say Save As DLG. Your synthesizer doesn't say DLG, it says Save As Dialog. What you would see in speech box mode is no cursor, and you would actually see Save As Dialog, File Name, Edit, or whatever was being spoken by the synthesizer. Your navigation keys would also pan left or pan right through the text in the Braille display's buffer or stored information that had been previously sent to the synthesizer. One area where I use this is sometimes I'll set my Braille display in speech box mode and then press Insert H in an application. Then all you have to do is pan left if you misheard something and look at all the keystrokes that are actually displayed there, or at least up to 10 lines of them. What I'd like to demonstrate for you right now is the keystroke that is often called toggle Braille mode. What we're going to look at is what it sounds like while we're still in keyboard help, since we haven't gone out of that yet, and then we'll exit keyboard help, and we'll actually hear what the synthesizer sounds like, and we'll look at the Braille display and what it demonstrates, and it's going to show slightly different amounts of information based on the size of your Braille display. So what I'm going to do now, seeing as we're still in keyboard help, is go ahead and press my Braille toggle mode keystroke.
Braille F8 plus F10, Braille toggle mode, cycles between line comma, structured and speech box modes.
What we heard JAWS say was that it toggles between line, speech box, and structured modes. What I'm going to do now is hit this keystroke twice in rapid succession on the Braille display. We'll hear a little bit of a better description of what is happening.
Line mode displays text that is on the current line period. Structured mode allows to have information from different parts on the screen displayed in a single Braille line period. Speech box mode displays whatever gets spoken period.
Now what I'd like to do is actually go out of keyboard help. Let's exit keyboard help the same way we came in, and that is by holding the insert key down on the number pad and pressing the number 1 on the alphanumeric numbers row.
Keyboard help off.
Now if you have found your toggle Braille mode keystroke, then you can follow along with us here and watch your display for the changes in the information that you're going to see. Remember that by default we're in structured mode, so when we hit this the first time it's going to move to the next available mode. I'm going to go ahead and press that keystroke now.
Speech box mode.
It said speech box mode, and I'm looking at my display right now, and it says speech box mode on the display. And that's because that was the last thing the synthesizer said. Now I'm going to go ahead and press it again.
Line mode.
Line mode. I don't really see too much difference on my display than what I saw in structured mode, but in case a dialog pops up warning me of something, I want to switch back to structured mode. So let's go ahead and press that keystroke one more time to move us back to structured mode.
Structured mode.
The important thing to remember about the differences in these three modes is the way that the panning works and all the navigation. When you're in structured mode and you're in a dialogue, panning left and right is going to take you back and forth on the Braille line that has been built for you by JAWS for Windows, meaning from the save as DLG, maybe to the file name, edit, maybe you'll see the information that says, warning, you haven't saved your changes. Those are actually on very different locations on the screen, whereas in line mode you wouldn't see that stuff all on one Braille line. It makes it real convenient to be able to just pan left and right and look at the pertinent information from the dialogue. Line mode is just going to pan left and right no matter where you are. The up and down keys are not affected by these modes, and in fact, the up and down keys won't work in speech box mode, as neither will the cursor routing buttons. Your pan left and pan right keys, as we covered earlier, just cycle you back through the spoken text when you're in speech box mode. Another feature we want to cover, which a lot of our users have been wanting for some time, is grade 2 translation in JAWS for Windows. Let's turn keyboard help back on so we can find the keystroke for grade 2 translation. Go ahead and hold the insert key down on the number pad, and let's press the alphanumeric row number 1 now.
Keyboard help on.
Okay, there's a couple aspects to this grade 2 translation that we want to cover. I'm going to go ahead and press the grade 2 translation toggle keystroke now.
Braille F7 plus F8. Braille grade 2 translation. Toggles Braille grade 2 translation on and off period.
This basically turns on and off your grade 2 translator that is built into JAWS for Windows. There's one more aspect to the grade 2 translation, and that is either translate whole line or expand current word. So what I'm going to do is press that toggle keystroke now.
Braille F8 plus F9. Braille grade 2 expand current word. Toggles Braille grade 2 translation of the current word on and off period.
That toggles the grade 2 translation of the current word on and off. What this really means is that if you have it to expand current word, the word at the position of the active cursor is displayed in grade 1. For example, if the word the was at the position of the active cursor, you'd see T-H-E, so that you could change it to this more easily by pressing the cursor routing button over the E and putting an I-S there, for example. If you want to view the entire document or screen in grade 2 with no grade 1 visible at all, then that's where the translate whole line comes in handy. And even at the position of the active cursor, everything is still in grade 2. What you probably see on your display is your display shows everything in 8-dot Braille by default, even when you're using grade 2. We have the ability built into JAWS for Windows for you to turn that off temporarily if you so choose. There are times when 8-dot Braille certainly comes in handy if you're looking at something in grade 1, for example, dot 7 is the sign for uppercase or capital letter. But if you're using grade 2, or you don't necessarily need to see that, it sometimes can be more of a pain than anything else, so we've made it a very easy switch to turn off and on. What I'm going to do is press my Braille 8-dot toggle keystroke now on my display. Let's listen to what JAWS says.
Braille F2 plus F7. Braille toggle 8 dots. Toggle between 8 and 6-dot mode on the Braille display.
Let me press it twice in rapid succession. Let's do that and listen to what JAWS has to say about that.
8-dot Braille indicates uppercase and highlighted text with dots 7 and 8 period.
This leads us into a discussion of Braille marking with JAWS for Windows. What Braille marking does is display the attribute of the text at the position of the active cursor or the Braille line. What I'd like to do now is press the keystroke on the Braille display so you can hear what JAWS says about the Braille marking toggle.
Braille F4 plus F9. Braille toggle marking. Indicate which text attributes should be displayed.
Since JAWS for Windows will only display one attribute at a time, this toggles between the attributes you wish to have displayed on your display in dots 7 and 8. This means that both dots 7 and 8 will be up. Generally, the cursor is flashing up and down, so it won't be confusing between that and the actual cursor. What I want to do right now is turn keyboard help off, and we'll go ahead and cycle through the available attributes that you can see on your display. This can come in real handy when you're proofreading a document and you want to switch through and look for different attributes on your display. Let's go ahead and press the insert key and hold it down on the numeric pad and press the numbers row number 1.
Keyboard help off.
And we should hear the synthesizer say keyboard help off. Now I'm going to go ahead and press this keystroke again and we're going to listen. The default is highlight, by the way, for Braille marking. so that highlighted text is displayed in dots 7 and 8. What we'll do now is cycle through the available attributes that we can see in Braille marking.
Braille marking bold.
There's bold.
Braille marking underline.
There's underline.
Braille marking italic.
We have italic.
Braille marking strikeout.
And strikeout.
Braille marking all.
Braille marking all, that means that it would simply show you whenever there was an attribute of any one of those varieties. So then you could go and see which text had one of these attributes on it, and then switch to one of the other markings to see which one it was.
Braille marking off.
Braille marking off. Many times you may not even want to see the attributes. If you're on the desktop, you may not want to see the attributes. Since highlight is the default, we want to go ahead and set it to highlight, so let's press the keystroke one more time to set it back to Braille marking highlight.
Braille marking highlight.
The advantage of having it set to Braille marking highlight is if you're looking at your display and you're not in a document, but for example, you're on the desktop and you've been looking around with the prior line and next line keystrokes we went over earlier, you'll find the icon that's highlighted or selected with the active cursor by seeing dots 7 and 8 under the actual name of the icon. For example, if the My Computer icon is highlighted, you'll see My Computer with dots 7 and 8 underneath it. Another aspect of formatting text on many displays is the pixels per space option. It's actually a toggle keystroke. It's not on the display that I have in front of me here, but it's always available to be set in the Advanced Options dialog of the Set Options menu in Configuration Manager. And you can review how to use Configuration Manager by reviewing the section on the various managers in this training tape series. The default setting is 8 pixels per space. And what this does is shows you all of the formatting that's available on the screen. For example, if somebody put a space, 10 spaces between one sentence and the next for multiple columns or some other formatting reason, then you're going to see the 10 spaces, and there are times you may want to see that. However, if you're just reviewing something like looking at a web page, surfing the internet, for example, you can turn all of that off by setting it to unlimited number of pixels per space, which is the equivalent to setting the value to 99 in Configuration Manager. That basically lines up your text and displays it the same way you would see text on a page in a book. What I'd like to move to now is the discussion of how to find out your Braille keystrokes and the help that's available to you for your Braille display with JAWS for Windows. Since everything I've discussed with you today is specific to JAWS for Windows, all of the help that you will get for it is in JAWS for Windows Help System. The easiest way to find out what keys are currently assigned to your Braille display is to go into the Keyboard Manager and open the default file, go into the list of keystrokes, open the Find Keystroke dialog, press a keystroke on your Braille display, press the Enter key, and it will tell you the script that is attached to that keystroke, telling you what that keystroke does. A more comprehensive and perhaps a more efficient way to do it would be to go into the JAWS for Windows Help System. On the Contents tab, you will find a book entitled Advanced Tools, under which you will find a book entitled Using JFW with Braille. There's also a topic inside this book. The very first topic you'll find is Using JFW with Braille. I suggest you read this first for a general overview of JAWS for Windows with Braille, much like what you've encountered here in this training tape in a lot more detail. In the list of topics, besides the Using JFW with Braille, you will find the topic that is labeled with your Braille display. Simply open and review this topic for a list of keystrokes and issues with that particular Braille display.
This tutorial was produced by Henter Joyce Incorporated. Your tutorial instructors have been Earl Harrison, Dave Baker, Jim Ellsworth, and Michelle Ferguson. Produced and engineered by Earl Harrison. Special thanks to all beta participants for providing valuable feedback and suggestions throughout the production of this tutorial. Thank you for your interest in the HenterJoyce line of training products. If you have comments or suggestions for future tutorials, you may email them to training@hj.com or mail them to HenterJoyce Training at 11800 31st Court North, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33716. You have reached the end of Side 2. Please fast forward to the end to queue up Side 1 for your next listening.